Peace of Christ be with you. One quick notice, if anyone's looking for a hot date on a Thursday night, except for you freshmen, Graves Hall, 8 o'clock, our first Faith and Film series, we are going to be watching In the Name of the Father, In the Name of the Father, In the Name of the Father, a Daniel Day-Lewis 1993 film, fantastic, under the umbrella of our prison movies. We've got some great panelists for discussion words to engage the film, but I just invite all of you to come out, bring a friend, or somebody you might want to be a friend, to the event. So Graves Hall tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Let us turn to the book of Philippians. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul writing in the first chapter, verse 12. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Philippians is a book from one friend to another. Philippians invites us to explore the art of friendship, and we've already learned a couple lessons. One is that friends call each other by name. Another is that friends pray for friends. That one of the great joys of being a Christian is that we have brothers and sisters that will pray for us, just like we're family, because actually in Christ, that is what we are. We're a new people, a new family. Here's another lesson today. Is that friends inspire the witness of friends. Friends inspire the faith of friends. When we are faithful in Christ, it has a ripple effect of encouragement to our friends. Friends inspire friends. That's one of the things that we learn in the book of Philippians. Have you ever had a friend in your life who lived in such a way, as if they had an alternative script, as if they had a different vision of their life that inspired and wanted you to live differently? A friend that had that rare, uncanny ability to look at a particular circumstance, no matter how difficult, and reframe it and see a different reality. A friend who could see your life and not just see like who you are, but who you really are, who you're becoming. Paul is that kind of friend to the Philippians. Paul is that friend who can see an alternative script, an alternative reality. One of the things I most admire about Paul is his rare, raw confidence in God, in that ability to see God at work no matter what the circumstances are. Paul's in prison. And yet he sees a different opportunity, a different kind of angle that everyone else is seeing. On Sunday night, Kate gave this wonderful, beautiful sermon, and she talked about how Paul is able to see with a divine perspective that no matter how difficult the circumstances, a divine perspective allows us to see God at work. That a divine perspective allows us to see that even evil can be transformed into good. Paul is that kind of friend seen on behalf of his friends. Paul has that rare faith, that raw confidence that allows him to see with a divine perspective. And where does that divine perspective come from? It comes from an encounter he has had with the living, resurrected Christ. He knows because of Christ that there is another who was wrongly imprisoned. He knows that there was another who was beaten and who was betrayed, and ultimately his imprisonment ended in a crucifixion. He knows that at the end of this crucifixion, there were 3 days where he was in a tomb, and then God removed that tomb, and this Jesus stepped out of the darkness into the bright light of a fresh new dawn. Paul understands that the work and will of God cannot be stopped, and it cannot be contained. That even in the worst of circumstances, God can turn that evil and turn it into good. Because he knows Jesus, he has that rare confidence that can allow him to look at his circumstances with a different way. Because he is attuned to the cross. The cross is this dramatic symbol, testimony, and witness of God's action in history and in time, that even the worst can be transformed into something good. The most horrific symbol in all of the ancient world was transformed into a symbol and sign of God's gracious goodness and beauty and justice and truth. Paul has this deep in his soul, so no matter where he goes, as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether he goes north or south, east or west, he is able to look square in the eye his circumstances and see another opportunity. And it is the opportunity to share the gospel. What I so admire about Paul is that he seizes every chance to advance the message. He is like that angel that shows up to the shepherds that says, "Lo, behold, I bring good tidings of great joy for all people." Even though Paul is in prison, he sees this as an opportunity. Now, it says in our text that Paul is in prison at a specific place, or at least with a specific guard, the imperial guard. Paul finds himself locked away by kind of the political police of the time. Most likely, this is around the year 60 AD, and he's in Ephesus. And Ephesus at this time is quickly becoming a cultural center, an economic power, a political activity place. And in that place, the imperial guard was there to help begin foster the emperor worship. And then you have Paul coming in and offering an alternative script, a different vision. The imperial guard was well aware of the term gospel. There was the gospel of Caesar, the Pax Romana, that through Caesar, this human conduit of God, justice would be brought to the whole world, that there would be peace and rule. But what you had to do was bow and worship the Caesar. The state was God. But Paul said, no, there is an alternative script. There is a different king. And at the name of this king, every knee in heaven and on earth should bow. Well, that just doesn't fly, because you can only have one king. And so the imperial guard puts Paul in prison. But here's the trick, is you can put Paul in prison, but you can't shut him up. The man keeps talking. You can put the body away, but the word has a way of leaking out through the cracks. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually helped to advance the gospel. I have this picture of Paul in prison, and he's talking about the resurrected king. He's talking about a subversive life, a new way of seeing reality. It is a reality where God enters into the world through human flesh. It is the penultimate occasion of the covenant of God on the cross. And on this cross, every sin has been forgiven. That you are given a passport to a new way of life. And this new way of life cannot be stopped, for this life is like light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot overcome it. What happened on the cross, says Paul, is cosmic in scope and significance. Everything changes, and it challenges the status quo. It challenges the political authorities. It challenges the economic norms. It challenges all of our cultural assumption. And it still does. The gospel is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, the resurrected king, cannot, will not be stopped. And it continues to challenge. It challenges our political system. It challenges the Republicans, and it challenges the Democrats. It challenges institutions like Hope College. It challenges our administration, and it challenges our faculty. It challenges the campus ministries. It challenges you, the student body, that there is an alternative script, a new way of living, another king to which we bow down to. But this king is not like the Roman Caesar. This is the king who comes, who gives his life so that we might have life. This is a king that does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Which is why Paul is willing to go north and south, east and west, and to give his life for this message. This is why he's willing to take every opportunity to live a different way and to model a different life. And the ripple effect of this is, and this is the punchline, is that Paul's witness inspires witness. Paul's faith inspires the faith of his friends. Most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. With greater boldness and without fear. So you can lock away a body, but you cannot stop the word of God. The word of God is generative and it has power. And when God speaks, something new can happen. The old is gone and the new is come. The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that comes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish the purposes I have for it and succeed for that which I sent it. God's word never comes back void. And when we speak the word without fear and with greater boldness, something happens. Something happens to us, and something happens to that imperial guard. They were made aware that there is something larger and more beautiful and more just than their Caesar, than their loyalties, whatever they were worshiping. And so it is with us, that our witness here at Hope College has that kind of capacity. I know that there are some here who want a different script. You're on the weekend and you don't want to be alone and you want friends and real friends. You're not sure how to have it and you want a different kind of script than just the hookup culture, and you want a different kind of script than just partying for its own sake. And you want a script that's filled with life and being. And my encouragement to you is to live into the script of Jesus, that your identity is in him. And as you live that witness, that has a profound effect on your friends and your friends on you. That friends' faith inspires faith. And when we live the witness of Jesus, when we give not just part of our life, a chapel life, but all of our life in the classroom and in the dorm and at practice and the Lomangelos, when we're on our dates, when we give all of what we have, it has a tremendous power to invite us into that raw confidence, that new vision that Paul experiences. And it is that vision that allows him, even in prison, to say what Josh had said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice, for the Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, the shalom of God, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. My friends, witness inspires witness. Faithfulness inspires faithfulness. Let's be that kind of place for us. That is what our whole talk about this Hope 2.0 is all about, the Hope Way. We want to help cultivate another kind of culture where our witness is inspiring another kind of witness. Not in a self-righteous way or in a judgmental way, but in a way of Jesus, because it's beautiful and it's true and it's a breath of fresh air. And so my encouragement is, do not be afraid. Faculty, do not be afraid to speak the word with boldness. Students, do not be afraid to live out the witness of Jesus with greater boldness. Don't be afraid of your reputation. Don't be afraid of what other people think. But live into the reality that is, that Jesus is here alive, calling us, pouring out his spirit on us, inviting us to live in such a way that it embodies the name of this institution. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that we would have the faith of Paul to be able to see you, Jesus, at work. That your word is generative and it cannot be stopped. And I pray for each of us, Lord, that we would have the courage to live a witness that might inspire witness. Come, Lord Jesus, and may your way be Hope's way. In Christ's name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Love you. Go in peace. See you tomorrow.